Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable on the St. Patrick's Day. Very nice to have you with us. We have a couple of Irishmen here, anyway, and then we have other branches of the service.
People married to Irish people.
Yes, there you go. Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartock is here. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning.
I was getting ready for the big statement. I was getting ready for a declaration,
no,
if you will.
No. Yeah, it's a little quirk I have every once in a while. I repeat a word.
Okay. So, all right. Well, it's welcome. Good morning. Yeah. Nice to see you. Mike Spain.
The top of the morning to you, Joe.
The rest of the day to yourself, sir. Very nice to have you here, and always nice to have you here. And Stu Shinsky is here from the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Mr. Always O'Donoghue, nice. Mr. O'Donoghue, a pleasure, sir.
Always Thank nice to have me. You with us when you make your way up the thruway. Always very, very nice. So you three have been already warmed up doing the media project. Mm-hmm. You come in, so I feel like I have to catch up because you've already been arguing for a half hour or so.
Right.
Let's continue that, right? Well, we have a lot to discuss. What a day yesterday was. So the President of the United States, as you heard right here on WAMC, was that the President nominated Merrick Garland to be his nominee for the Supreme Court. He would be the nation's 113th Supreme Court justice, a centrist appellate judge who could certainly reshape the court. He's a well-known figure in Washington legal services. He has been called by Orrin Hatch a fine, fine man. Mr. Obama dared Republican senators to ignore public pressure and make good on their promise to block consideration of any nominee until after the next president is chosen. So here is, in a nutshell, without trying to editorialize, but the President of the United States puts up a nominee, and we'll talk about this, but on paper seems to be a very qualified jurist.
And a very strategic choice as well.
Yes.
Very strategic choice. Someone who is qualified, someone who is not necessarily far to the left, someone who could probably be confirmed if this were at a different point in history very easily.
Very quickly. And very easily if this were a different time.
Predicted but, right here, the strategic part, by me. Right from the beginning.
Stu, give him credit.
Dr. Chartock, we are in awe, sir.
So then it was a nanosecond after the Rose Garden celebration ended before Mitch McConnell took to the Senate floor to say, no way in hell.
Pretty much. And, you know, that only echoed what he said within 2 hours, I think, after Judge Scalia died last month. Yes. He said, we will not even consider a candidate for the Supreme Court until the next president is elected, which is an interesting nuance because he didn't say until one's in office, which is interesting.
So, yeah. So here's my issue on this, and this is what I don't understand, and this is why I need all of you smart people to help me on this. So you have, first of all, McConnell yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, said on the Senate floor that it is, given this time, it is important that the people have a say in this decision, that it is very important that the people have a say in this decision. My question is, didn't the people have a say in this decision 4 years ago when they voted for President Obama and reelected him?
Well, yes, and it's the president's job, it's in the Constitution, and two-thirds of the American people, as mentioned, by the way, Joe, in the president's remarks yesterday, two-thirds are for his right to do it and the Senate's obligation to follow through. So, therefore, the people have, it's in the Constitution, it's been voted on, and by the way, I think they are being stupid.
And the Republicans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And why? Because obviously they have to face the fact that if the polls are correct and if Hillary Clinton is going, I'm not electioneering here, folks, but if Hillary Clinton is going to be elected president of the United States, then they're going to get at least one, probably three And they will probably be not of the temperament of Judge Garland, right? I mean, I think there's there's no question. So the latest thinking is, by some, including me, is that they may wait until the election is over.
And then quickly,
and
during
quickly
the real
confirm,
lame duck
and then
you know,
if they run
have
to, fast.
But
to
the
confirm.
Downside on that one is that the meantime, that election will have a lot of Republicans running for their lives to control the United States Senate, which they are in real danger of losing here. And the Democrats are not playing nice to them, for them. So that, for example, they're saying, all right, you know, we will go after you with the best candidates we can find, you know, for those offices. And if you wait till after the election, you may really be out of control. I just think they just can't handle the idea that the court may go the other way.
So here's where I don't understand. So let's parse some of this for a second. Number one, if you had a really strong Republican candidate that everybody in the party was behind, and
the Supreme Court,
for president.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And the Senate majority and the Judiciary Committee said, oh, well, we'll just wait for this guy because we'll hope he'll win, and then this guy will. Okay, I get that. But the same person who was on the Senate floor last night doesn't like the front runner of the Republican Party and is doing everything he can to keep him from being elected. So what is the logic then in saying we're going to keep it up to the people so that the guy that we don't like then can come in and nominate somebody?
Joe, you're assuming there's logic.
I know.
Yeah, McConnell, if he's anything, he is consistent, and he has consistently said that he will
he's
do everything.
Hated President
right,
Barack Obama.
Do everything he can to block President Obama from doing anything. I mean, he tried. He said one of his goals after the first term was to make sure that President Obama would not have a second term, and he's done pretty much everything he possibly could. It appears to thwart efforts by the Obama administration to get any legislation through Congress. Some has gotten through, and there's been a little bit of compromise, but by and large, it's just been, let's wait till the next person's in there. I'm not going to do anything while you're there, and this is what's going on. And I think it's going to backfire. I agree, Alan. The Democrats are going to say—
You agree with the fact that I said it was stupid?
Well,
that's a tough word.
It's going to backfire on the Republicans. Yeah, it's a bad strategy, as you say, Joe. I mean, there's no gain if Trump gets in there. McConnell doesn't have a relationship with Trump
at this
point. And Cruz. I mean, they are probably more at odds. I mean, between the two, I think the tension between Cruz and McConnell is probably the highest.
Well, let's just say that Cruz gets to be president of the United States. Hmm. Okay, I don't think that's going to happen. But let's just say that Cruz gets to be president of the United States, and he nominates Attila to be on the Supreme Court. They have now set a precedent, which is going to be very hard for them to walk away from. We're just not voting on it. We're not going to talk to him. We're not voting on it. We're not going to do it. This precedent is what they are. They're making the bed now.
Yeah, but they won't care about the precedent the next time. They'll just find some other argument.
They'll say, oh, yeah.
This is a different situation.
Yeah, and you owe us an up or down vote, which they always say.
Yeah. And about McConnell's comment about, what was it, suddenly
the
people's
role?
Voice? No, the people's voice.
Right. Yeah, the people's
wait a
voice.
Minute. Capitol Hill is concerned about the people's voice
right.
all of a sudden?
Well, I said, and again, the people's voice
wait a second.
The president to make these decisions. Okay, so the other thing that I want to go, and this is to parse this a little bit further, but to Alan's point, so you have this... You have this guy, and I do want to talk about Justice Garland for a moment before we go to break, but because he is very qualified and he seems like just a really nice guy, but not that you need that in a Supreme Court justice, but can't hurt, right?
Right.
So
he's got a resume.
He certainly has a resume,
yes.
Beginning with the Oklahoma City bombing and the prosecution there. Anyway. So, but to Alan's point of if you wait, so the thinking being now that you wait if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or whoever, let's say a Democratic president is elected, then you quickly go through this the motions and elect this guy. My question is then, doesn't actually it become what the argument is that if you are, let's say, Hillary Clinton, that is that fair to her then if she's just been elected and then that seat
that
is
you're
filled?
Rushing Obama's appointment
yeah.
through? Yeah.
Is that going to work
out? I don't know that is a factor that matters at all. What's fair to Hillary Clinton? I mean, this is all extremely partisan. It was partisan when McConnell said they weren't going to consider anybody.
No, but he can withdraw the nomination too, right?
Would he withdraw? Can
no? I mean, with the president could withdraw the nomination.
Well, he would have the guy say, "I don't want to be." Considered.
Or Garland. Yeah. Garland
either one
no,
of those, I think, would be. Politics also. I mean, everything is politics. Just nominating this excellent candidate, what appears to be an excellent, well-qualified candidate.
Who they all voted for is
a but it's a partisan move. It's going to give the Democrats all kinds of weaponry as they go through this election, holding the Republicans accountable, saying the Supreme Court is at a 4-4 stalemate. We need to get somebody in there and citing the constitutional
and the polls. Don't forget the
and
polls.
And the polls are supporting them.
Obama's strategy is right on the money, seemingly, because he's put the Republicans in a corner, and basically everyone is saying, so what are you going to do?
And the Republicans it's are now talking now. About, aren't they,
right.
Running a third, potential third, you can hear it, third-party ticket, you know, running to keep the Senate, but forget about the presidency. We're going to leave that alone if Trump becomes the candidate. Well, think about that. You're going to lose the Senate on this one.
Right. And some folks have come out. You mentioned Orrin Hatch, Flake from Arizona on the Judiciary Committee. So, yeah, I'll talk to him. I mean, this is not the whole Republican Party talking.
Well, no. It's one thing to talk to him.
Well, and Hatch has said
talk it in.
And Hatch won't talk to him. But I came after the press event yesterday. I came looking for Alan in his office, and because I was just like in the stupor trying to figure this out. And because of the polls saying this, it's like, what is the guiding force? Where is and again, Stu, good point, but where is the logic where you turn around and you say, okay, I'm not even going to meet with this guy. So yesterday, Justice Garland picked up the phone, called Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell says, I'm not going to meet with you. I don't want to meet with you. Goodbye. No, what does that, like, that...
That's rude.
Well, it is.
Well it's rude, rude, but it also plays right into the Democrats' hands.
Right. It just seems to be politically, the word you said...
Stupid. Yeah, how am I using
it's
it?
It's the party allegiance first, like everything else in
Washington. Well, in this case, it's just a big mistake.
Yeah.
And they may well lose the Senate over it.
But, and I don't... And I guess that's what I don't understand. You have all of the writing on the wall that is saying, this is a bad idea, this is a bad idea, this is a bad idea, and yet you keep going
okay,
with
Joe,
it.
Because the right wing will look at McConnell and say, you gave in.
Yeah. And no, let's just take a look at some of the cases that have come down from Bush versus Gore, from the Citizens United. So many of them. There must be 10 that roll off the lips. And you get guys who are giving them a lot of money. You got the Koch brothers, you got other people. This Supreme Court has been doing the dirty work for that group. And they just refuse to let it go. It's that simple.
So meanwhile, you could potentially, for over a year and a half, have a 4-4 court.
Right. And when a case gets to the Supreme Court and they can't decide and they're stalemated, the circuit court's opinion then holds. And most of the circuit court, we've talked about this before, most of the circuit court judges have been put there by the Obama administration. So it's probably going to favor the left or the moderates to have it this way. And so none of the strategy makes
sense.
Well,
that's what I said.
So the current situation is giving the Democrats enormous political fodder. The outcome is bleak for the Republicans. It's almost like a march off a cliff.
It's going to be a watershed year in the history of American politics between the presidential race, where it's going to go, and what's going to happen with the Supreme Court situation. This is a watershed moment politically.
And doesn't, if you were drinking, having a drink of water as you were listening to Mitch McConnell, doesn't the water come out of your nose when he says that the reason that this is being done is for the American people, and how dare the president politicize the process?
Well, it goes back to what you said. Who elected him? What's the Constitution say?
I mean, well, and who elected Mitch McConnell, quite frankly, as they're making this decision?
Right. Well, it can backfire. It just seems like it's going to backfire on the Republicans, and it's hard to understand. Of course, if they approve this guy and they rammed him through and he got into the court and Garland were to join the court and they were a full court, they might make some interesting decisions that would also become part of the political
fire. There's no guaranteeing that Garland is going to be with the Democrats, the Democratic sensibilities in a lot of this stuff.
And not to be morose, but there are several elderly Supreme Court justices.
I was going to say that.
So there may well be openings in coming years.
Well, there will be.
Yes.
Because as I have said many times, God has term limits.
Yes.
As we all do.
Well put. Yeah, we have expiration dates on us.
We never know. We never know, do we? All right. Let's take a break. And we have a lot of letters on this. We'll talk about this, and then we'll get to presidential politics as well. Our panel this morning, Alan Chartok and Mike Spain of the Times Union, Stu Shinsky of the Poughkeepsie Journal, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We will be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. We have a good one this morning. Well, we always do, but let me, you know. Okay, I'm just being nice to them. They're here. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Stu Shinsky, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, I see from my mailbox that we have a lot of letters.
We have a lot of letters. Bernard says, I heard your discussion in regard to Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, and I ask why? Cats, capital letters, why? Are the Republicans maintaining their position in regard to the Supreme Court nominee? Why? And that's Bernie from Woodburn.
All right.
Okay, that's what he said.
Bernie from Vermont? Is that who that was?
No. okay, I'd like to think, says Joel, that your assessment that the Senate's refusal to ratify a justice will come back to bite the Republicans in the next election. And I would think that, except that's what I thought about the stalemate in Congress leading up to the 2014 election. Rather than hurt the Republicans, they end up capturing a larger share of the House and Senate. I hope I'm wrong. Okay. And then we heard from Michael, who said, when Mitch McConnell says, let the people speak, how do you know he doesn't mean the corporations, according to Citizens United? We are beholden to people, aren't we? Boy, an awful lot of people out there.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. It's hard not to be cynical / bitter when you hear this stuff, and as if it's said seriously.
Oh. Arthur says the big story is how a relatively unknown in less than a year of organizing gives Clinton Mighty Machine a serious challenge. All right. And Susan says, over the next few months, I suspect we will see the negative campaigns fly. I wonder why past voting records aren't front and center in these ads. For example, why is it true in all the Republican debates, Cruz has never been asked about shutting down the government and what it costs the American people? Trump slams him on many things, but he gets a pass on something like that? Question mark. I hope stonewalling the nomination of Mr. Garland does come back to haunt the Republican majority of the Senate, but I fear it won't. Senators and congressmen are never held accountable for their votes or their actions. And John says, howdy, panel. I like it, howdy. It occurs to me that we could cherry-pick Joe Biden's past remarks and now call them all rules with impunity. Who needs the Constitution? VA says, if Donald Trump becomes president, he will have been elected by the media, especially CNN, not the voters.
Huh?
Well, I have to say, I was watching CNN yesterday, and I think I heard a number of their people say that there's no way this judge could be confirmed. And I have to say, I think there is a way that this judge could be confirmed.
What scenario?
I think the scenario is they start to look at the polls and they're going to lose the Senate and they are going to run for the hills. That's what I think the scenario is going to be. That's the deal.
So you think McConnell will backtrack?
I think they'll find a way for him to do it. They always find ways for people to
a rationale.
If I'm correct, there are six senators who are
six, I think,
going to talk to.
Six who are on the Judiciary Committee who are up for re-election. Is that correct? So if you get backlash from them, if they start losing, that's where it would turn, right?
Oh, I think so. I think not only those six. But also, once the stranglehold is broken, once everybody, because every Republican senator had to sign on to this thing, once that happens, it's over. Mm. It could be anybody, any Republican senator in the United States Senate. And Roger says, the mainstream Republican Party has been hijacked by its conservative wing. Rather than Tea Party starting their own party, it seems like the mainstream party might have to bolt and form their own party that remains fiscally conservative but more centrist on social issues. Okay, that's from Roger in Utica. Okay, Steve says, Steve says, even if the president succeeds in getting Judge Garland seated, can't Mitch McConnell claim in the end that he was just trying to get the least liberal justice possible seated? Yeah, that's a good rationale.
No, that may be part of the turnaround that he has to create.
It's plausible.
Okay, and people are sending me... you know, what do they call those things?
Links?
Links. I don't want links. I want a pithy.
You want sausage.
Pithy. You want less than 140 characters stating your opinion or a question or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And pithy.
Pithy.
Sound bites, right?
Yeah. Hi, from the beautiful northern Connecticut town of Ellington, Connecticut. My questions are, is Justice Garland a Republican or a Democrat? Does anybody know the answer to that one?
He's been considered moderate.
Yeah, so I don't know. Two, if the Democrats win the presidency, what would stop a Republican from declaring that president is a one-term president and refusing to consider a Supreme Court nominee for 4 more years?
That'd be hard to argue for 4
I like
years.
It. I like it.
You're a government at work.
Okay, well, I don't get that one, so I'm not reading it. Okay, I heard your discussion in regard... Oh, we did that one. Sorry about that. Refusing to even consider a candidate may not be a preferred strategy. The Republicans may have no choice in that cooperating with Obama on anything means a serious primary challenge. That's right. Obstruction may be the least bad option from the standpoint of personal political survival, even though, as you all seem to agree, it's generally terrible for the party. You know, this puts a lot of these guys between a rock and a hard place.
It does. They're trying to choose, as she put it, or he put it, whoever the writer was, least bad options. That's what they're facing, and they want to pick the least worst option. It's a tough thing for Republicans today.
Jill says... What about this Biden rule McConnell spoke about in his statement? We've already talked about that today.
You want to go over
it? Well, right. I mean, the Biden rule that was invoked.
Which is tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's not a rule.
Not at all.
They're making it a rule.
No, it's not a rule. It was a statement. It was a comment. It was an offhanded comment that he made.
Go ahead. By the way.
Well, back in 2007, then-Senator Joe Biden said it would be wrong in June of 2007 for President Bush to for an elder member of the Supreme Court to step down so that President Bush could appoint another younger, more conservative member of the court rather than let it happen during the next president's administration.
And let me just say that I love Joe Biden. I really do. I think the American people really love him. But he does have this penchant for opening his yap when he doesn't have to and saying something that will come back to haunt him.
Yeah, but, well...
In this particular case, it wasn't a rule. It didn't have the standing of a rule, and it was about
and
a very
also,
different
in that case,
situation.
So that was an option where someone might step down. This is
well,
a man
was a
who
scenario.
Died.
It was a scenario died. Versus reality,
yes.
Number one. Number two, it was also much later in the process.
It was
June as opposed to
before the November
early
election.
February
when
Antonin Scalia passed away.
I'm going to stand by what I just said, that the Zwick rule... is correct. Mrs. Zwick, my math teacher, would turn around to me and say, "Shark Talk, keep shut."
Keep shut.
So, you know, that's
well,
what I call
was
the
a
Zwick,
Republican.
Okay. Zwick rule. No, she was just maintaining
and
pressure.
And I agree with you on your strong love and support for Joe Biden, but he is not known for often keeping shut.
No, he doesn't open his eyes.
He makes pithy comments.
He makes pithy comments, right. And sometimes they come back to haunt him.
But what would we have if everything he said became the rule that we had to live by?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. But it's still endearing. Do you want to do a couple more? And then we'll wrap up.
Becky says, "Hi, panel. I love your show, and I love WMC. I've never contacted a show before, but I'm so incensed I need to this time. I'm wondering, can Mitch McConnell be impeached? Thank you. Love you." And that's from Becky. Well, the answer is He can be expelled from the Senate, I believe.
Right, but he also could be voted out of leadership where he would have no control.
Yeah, right. Those would be some of the things. I was just watching an excellent film on television about trying to expel, you know, a senator.
Okay. It's an arduous process that don't look forward to that happening. It's not going to happen.
Mitch M. is missing a big point. Obama's president, not Biden. This is now the McConnell rule, and that's from Jack. And, okay. And then, this is Doreen from Poughkeepsie. Brinkley says that FDR was preaching, we have nothing to hear but fear itself, and now you have Trump fear-mongering, horrible fear-mongering. He said Trump would have been nothing to FDR.
She said you were there,
yes.
When Douglas Brinkley was
Doug Brinkley was at the FDR Library Museum in Hyde Park, New York on Monday for a wonderful presentation about his new book. I was there. Doreen from Poughkeepsie, who I know from my work at the Poughkeepsie Journal, was also there, and Mr. Brinkley did indeed say that, yes. Oh.
And if you remember, Alan, which I know you do, that we were broadcasting from
Presidential
the Library. FDR Library, mm-hmm. Doug Brinkley was working on his book and
yes,
was knee deep in the in that work and
yes.
Came on and joined us, and it was great. So we got it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad it's now out. Okay, let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we want to catch up on a couple political things. It wouldn't be a day if we didn't talk about presidential politics, would it?
For a change.
That's right. So let's talk about not that we haven't been for the last 45 minutes, but you know, we'll be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel for this Thursday. Again, we're so glad that you're with us. We do want to talk about some other issues that are going on. And let's talk about the comments in the presidential race yesterday. We've been talking a lot about a contested convention. We've been talking a lot about the possibility of what happens if a Republican candidate does not get the required number of delegates. Paul Ryan's name has been thrown into the mix. We talked about that yesterday. Paul Ryan came out yesterday and said, I'm not running. I'm hands off. I'm out. Move on.
I'm not running parentheses until you beg me.
I wasn't running for Speaker of the House.
That's right. Exactly.
Until,
that was the first
yes,
thing that came
yes.
to my mind, Mike. Yeah, that's right. You said the same thing about being Speaker of the House. I have my family. I have so much to do.
Maybe he could broker being president where he's off on certain weekends. Stuff like that. Gets to go to soccer practice.
Right. Make it appealing.
Well, there's always a rule that you say you're not interested until the time comes when they beg. You don't want to get out in front on something like this.
So, pretty Sherman-esque what he said.
So yesterday, Donald Trump, the front runner in the Republican presidential race, said that a contested GOP convention could be a disaster if he goes to Cleveland a few delegates shy of 1237 and doesn't leave as the party's nominee. Trump said, quote, I think you'd have riots.
Now, let's just remember, this is the same Republican Party where the Senate is now saying we will not follow the Constitution and give an up or down vote, not confirm, but give an up or down vote on a Supreme Court nominee. Now, you think that that's going to stop them if they really hate Trump? And by the way, I still am having big trouble figuring out why they hate him so much. There's got to be a reason that I'm not seeing, because I think Trump is their most likely to succeed candidate to be president.
Yeah, but aren't they worried that he won't play by their rules?
Yes, they're worried
That's
about
exactly
that.
It.
But tough noogies, as we used to say at Camp Ron's house, it doesn't matter what
rock, paper, scissors, just having the guy there would be not having him there.
That's right. And to them, being establishment Republicans or wherever they are right now seems to be more important than having a guy who can win.
He said,
and by the way, that is not an endorsement by Alan of Trump. I'm a little bit worried about that.
That's often misinterpreted here on this program.
Well, you'd be surprised about some of the letters.
I know.
I have a technical question, Dr. Shartok, political scientist, can answer.
I'm being set up.
Yeah. No. This is a technical question about the Republican convention. Now, what happens to Rubio's delegates that he's won so far? And the others had picked up a few delegates. May they release them? Are they free to vote for whomever they wish?
The answer is they usually release them. But sometime they say, I hope my delegates will vote for Cruz or will vote for Kasich, and often lead them to that.
But they're not bound.
They are not.
They're not bound. Okay.
Lincoln freed the slaves.
So it's very likely that Trump will get to the convention and not have enough to automatically get the nomination.
Very possible.
And after that, there may be chaos, but he's saying there may be riots. Is that inviting
violence?
Well, isn't that what he's been doing? I mean, this is what he's been accused of over the past week and a half since Chicago of inciting this type of violence. And whether that's fair or not, I don't know.
Right. Well, that's the question. Yeah. That's the question.
That's the question.
If you go through the primary process in, 50 states, and Trump is the clear far and ahead winner, and then you go to the convention and they pick other guy from over here, what does that say about the use of the primaries? What's the point?
Okay, yeah. Now let's assume.
Democracy.
Right, yeah.
Let's assume you all, being incredibly important people, and I mean this, that you are.
Great sincerity.
Now who's getting set up? Okay.
What would you do if you were him?
Well, if you were Trump?
If you were Trump,
well,
and you
I
knew that...
I would
not
use the
that...
R word, perhaps, like riots, but I'd say it would be... I would make the case that it would be an abomination if the guy who's won so many primaries doesn't come away.
I mean, I agree with him. He's right.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
If he's 100 votes, sure. Which, by the way, that to me, the one thing I took out of that was almost like they're doing their math and that's what they're coming up with.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that... So, yeah, you would do the same thing.
Without
the riot word. Without there's going to be... Yeah, there's going to be rioting in the streets.
We're going to beat the heck out of them. You know?
Well, let me say something. I was at that...
Chicago?
Yeah. Well, not Chicago. I was at the Republican convention in, 72?
Oh.
And when the tear gas flew and the
Miami,
outside...
Right?
Yeah, Miami. It was really something. And working for a group called the Green Wire for ABC that we put out little tidbits about what the anchors could say, like
pre-tweeting.
Thomas Marshall said, "It's not worth more than the vice presidency is not worth more than a bucket of warm spit." So you would put that on, then you'd hear the anchor say that. You know, pretty interesting. Anyway, I think that if you're Trump, you realize that you've succeeded because you've been outrageous, and this is one more example of it. And why should he's not going to move back and become one of the pack by being less than outrageous.
He's going to be himself.
Meanwhile, in another thing that I agree with him on, he says, you know what? We've had enough debates. I'm good.
You know, it's hard to argue with that.
So he tells Fox News. Fox News had a debate scheduled for Monday night.
Right.
It would have featured John Kasich, Ted Cruz, and the remaining three. And
now there are three.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump announced that he was not going to participate in the debate. John Kasich and Ted Cruz would be the only two participants in the debate. And John Kasich turned around and said, "You know, that's dumb.
No thanks.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no sense doing it." So they canceled the debate.
I mean, they're not going to let Ted Cruz debate himself.
Well, I'm real curious. After the conventions, no matter who the nominees are we going to have three debates a week up to November?
Of course not. You're lucky if you get two.
Let me tell you about the rule. There is a rule. I don't know if it's the Biden rule. It's a rule.
The Biden rule.
Here's a conventional rule. The person who is leading in the polls generally doesn't want debates.
Sure.
Right. There's nothing.
You give him one.
Why give him a chance to knock you off?
You give him one. That's why.
I mean, and you can say a lot of things about Donald Trump, and God knows we all have. However, you can't say that the guy hasn't been out there debating and getting his points across. In this process, if people haven't heard where the various candidates stand, I mean, we always say this in the general election, that we want access to the candidates to find out where they stand on the various issues and to see the differences. Well, my God, we certainly have seen that. How many debates have there been? This would be the 13th, I believe.
Well, just on the GOP side?
Yes.
So then you add in the Democratic side, and wow.
Well, you know, I think it's all about, we all know what it's all about. We're getting a lot of letters. It's all about the Koch brothers. It's all about money. I think it's about money and sex. That's what I think. Now, sometimes they go
to... what's the sex part?
Megyn Kelly.
Ah!
You see, now, he's now picking on Megyn Kelly again. And
yes.
She is a beautiful woman. Now, I will hear from...
A graduate of Bethlehem High School in suburban Albany, New York.
And you will hear from feminists right now say, why are you even mentioning this, Alan? Because I think Trump, in his intuitive approach to politics knows that if he picks on a beautiful woman, people will pick up their heads and say, huh, that's interesting. So I think he is introducing this subtly, but doing it.
Yeah. The Washington Post had a link today to an ad that's been already making its way around the internet where women stand in front of the camera and just quote Donald Trump on issues about women.
That ad ran in Florida, I believe.
Yeah, and we're going to all see it. You know, it's going to be all over the place in ads like that. And it's
a powerful ad.
It is powerful, and they use his quotes regarding Megyn Kelly in that. That's one of the many quotes they pick up. But and they say at the end, you know, this is what Donald Trump is saying about your mother, your wife, your daughter, and it's very effective. And I think it's got to come back to hurt him, don't you think?
I think it was very simple that during the first debate with Fox, Megyn Kelly asked him some really tough questions that maybe he wasn't expecting from, quote, a Republican news network.
And on women.
On women. She called him to account on his comments.
Yes.
And he made the comments. It wasn't like he was misquoted or something. So I think it starts from there and just has grown where it's like, hey, I'm not going to be controlled by them at Fox.
Right. Well, but there are an awful lot of women who have been in debates, haven't there, who give him a hard time.
Yes.
And he has chosen Megyn Kelly to be his main subject. And we were over that. He went into a debate. They were kind to each other. And now, for some strange reason, out of nowhere,
he's probably tracking what happens when he was acerbic about her before.
Exactly.
And he's picking back up on it.
But
I think he
did a debate, and then they had another fight, and then he went out of the other debate, right, and said, I'm not going to be a part of that debate.
He doesn't want to debate anymore.
And then he did the other one with her. So, I mean, he's gone back and forth in this, and I don't know. It's
as he wins more states.
But again, at the end of the day, I think I have to agree with him that, wow, you know, we've had a lot of debates. I love watching them, but wow. Well,
as one of your listeners wrote in, Alan, what I haven't seen at the debate is anyone challenged Ted Cruz on shutting down the government and reading Green Eggs and Ham from the podium in the Senate.
Amazing.
And you know, so there's still
Rubio,
people should be held accountable.
Marco Rubio certainly made that case early on in the campaign, and it didn't get any traction,
yeah.
and it went away.
Well, I like to put my measurer on my arm,
blood pressure monitor,
monitor on my arm, and watch Ted Cruz. It's dangerous.
The final question. There's an article in the Times this morning. Cruz has new foe in Kasich with Rubio out, while Senator Ted Cruz has moved to consolidate support among evangelical and Tea Party voters. John Kasich has made a play for moderate Republicans. Will that work?
It's too late.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Of course. And we only have a minute. But Ted Cruz has moved to consolidate support among evangelical and Tea Party voters. But with Rubio out, John Kasich has made a play for moderate Republicans. Will that work?
No. I mean, I think that among the evangelicals, we saw at places where Cruz was supposed to, you know, get them all, he got
South Carolina.
South Carolina, but he got relatively little in some places where they were all expected to go to him as opposed to Trump. And Trump, for some strange reason, thrice divorced and married, right? Three times, mm-hmm. something like that?
Third wife.
Mm-hmm. And all of those other things, and having been on record in the past about women's values and right to control their own bodies, that defies explanation to me.
We are out of time. I want to thank everybody for being a part of our panel discussion this morning. Thank you for the vigorous conversation, panelists. As always, it's a pleasure. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Stu Shinsky, thank you very, very much. Mike, thank you for filling in. Stu, always good to see you.
Always good to see you. And a happy St. Patrick's Day to Mr. Donnie. You're wearing a green shirt, radio listeners.
Thank you very much. And you'll notice the other Irishman in the room has
a tie on Mr. Spain.
Look at this green on my Superman tie.
Alan has a Superman tie on, red, white, and blue.
Very patriotic, as always.
You know what that means? I'm colorblind.
Or you're green with envy.
We'll be back after this.